You are listening to African Perspectives with host Brother Oshi on Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasting or live program scheduling, hit them up at timeforanawakening@gmail.com.
Come feel what you need when what you really want inside. gonna do?
Do you really think that?
Do you think it all? Yeah.
Our government cares about
you. They ain't giving up a second thought about you. No. Ghetto people.
Who you gonna turn to next?
Tell me. With your life,
running like a red disease,
running like a red disease. Ghetto people,
stop giving up yourself.
Stop doing what you're doing to yourself. Yo. You got to learn to love yourself. Yeah, ghetto people.
You are listening to African Perspectives, where we view the issues of our day from an African worldview and African centered perspective. This program is unapologetically African. It is a custom in the African tradition to ask elders for permission to speak, having been granted permission. To our ancestors, whose shoulders we stand on, to our elders, whose shadows we walk in, I greet you, my dear brothers and sisters. In the language of one of the greatest civilizations on this planet, it gave the world the basic disciplines of knowledge of science, math, architecture, music, writing, law, religion, you name it, we did it. The Greeks called it Egypt, but they called themselves Kemet, and Kemet means land of the blacks. I greet you all in the Kemetic language, the word of peace, Hotep. It is truly an honor and a privilege to pour libation because we truly do stand on the shoulders of those who came before us. We're going to use water because water has no enemies. Water is the great cleanser, the great purifier. Everything on the planet that lives, it needs water, from a tiny microscopic organism to a tall redwood tree. We pour water into the earth to invoke the spirits of our ancestors, and we say the word Ashe, which simply means so be it. So we pour this libation to God for all that God has done and for all that God will do. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to Mother Africa, birthplace of all humanity, everyone who has lived, everyone who will live in the future. We all have a common ancestral root in Africa. We pour this libation to the classical civilizations of Africa. I mentioned Kemet in the opening. Kemet was the height, the apex, the zenith of African high culture. But there were others as well, as Timari, Punt, and Nubia. So we pour this libation to the classical civilizations of Africa. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to the contemporary civilizations of Africa, of Ghana, Mali, Songhai, Benin, Great Zimbabwe, civilizations that were flourishing and growing while Europe was in a medieval or dark age. The University of Sankore at Timbuktu, an outstanding educational institution. So we pour this libation to the contemporary civilizations of Africa. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to the Ma'afa, the Holocaust of our enslavement, the Infakani, the great tragedy, uprooted out of Africa. Our brothers and sisters lay a carpet along the Atlantic Ocean. We're in North America, South America, Central America, and throughout the diaspora. So we pour this libation to our brothers and sisters who suffered the Ma'afa, the Infakani, the Holocaust of our enslavement, the great tragedy. We pour this libation in their honor and in their memory. We do not know their names, but because of them and their sacrifice, we are here. So we say Ashe. We pour this libation to those who fought against enslavement. If you ever heard me do a libation, you will know that we were not slaves. I repeat, we were not slaves. We were captives. What does a captive want to do? Get free. So we pour this libation to all those men and women who fought against enslavement. In fact, I maintain that some of us are more of a slave today than we were in our initial captivity, because some of us are a slave to vice, to corruption, to drugs, sex, and violence. So we pour this libation to those who fought against enslavement: Gabriel Prosser, Nat Turner, Dingmark Vesey, Harriet Tubman. We always resisted. And we will always resist. So we pour this libation in the name and the honor of those men and women who fought against our captivity. We pour this libation to those unborn, those young men and women who will once again lead us back on the stage of human history as a free and proud and productive people. We sashe. We pour this libation to brotherhood and sisterhood, together for the union of family. We need each other. We don't have good family life. There's a saying, conditions shape conduct and consciousness. The conditions in our community are bad. The conduct towards each other is not good. Because why? We lack consciousness. And consciousness is more than just awareness. Consciousness is a deeper understanding of who you are historically, who you are culturally. So once we begin to understand the importance of brotherhood and sisterhood together for the union of family. Brothers and sisters, let us all say, Ashe, Ashe.
You are listening to Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts or live programming, hit them up at timeforanawakening.com.
Good morning, African world. You are listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network on timeforanawakening.com and blacktalkradionetwork.com. And I am your host, Baba Oshi. Hotep family, hope everything is well with you today. Hope you're going to have a great weekend and hoping that you'll get a chance to do all the things that you want to do, should do, must do, can do, and will do. Hoping, too, that the weather will be accommodating for you to do it. But, of course, if it's not. But it has to be done. It must get done. Then you will get it done, regardless. Or the old saying, irregardless. This is African Perspectives. We're here every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m., 10 to 12 Central, 9 to 11 Mountain, or 8 to 10 Pacific. Any other time around the world, but if you cannot listen to this program live, you can always go to our archives at timeforanawakening.com. Top of the page, you'll see podcast programs. Click on that. The drop down, you'll see African Perspectives. Click on that, and then there will be programs that are dated and titled. Other programming we have here on Time for an Awakening. Once again, this program is every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. And all times are going to give our Eastern times. Yesterday evening, from 8 p.m. to 10 p.m., the Black Liberation Movement, Mississippi on the Move, with Brother Patrick Lumumba of the Geronimo Pratt Gun Club. This evening at 8 p.m., Time for an Awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. Tomorrow, Saturday, from 7 to 9, the Sankofa Elders Council with Dr. Janine. On Sunday at 7 p.m., on Sunday, once again, Time for an Awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. And the number to call is 215-490-9832. 215-490-9832. We're going to do announcements. Haven't done announcements in a while. And like I said, I'm going to be doing just once a week, just consistently. And if there's any questions on any other day that I don't do it and you got a question about it, please always ask. And I'll try my best to get the information, that's for sure. We Buy Black. We Buy Black, the largest online marketplace for American African-owned businesses. It's WeBuyBlack.com. Get everything you need from American African-owned businesses. WeBuyBlack.com. And brothers and sisters, the holiday season is coming up. Okay. You know, that's right. The fourth principle of Kwanzaa. Ujamaa, cooperative economics. You know, but even all of this time and any and every day that you can support one another, please do. WeBuyBlack.com. Yeah, my good brother. Brother Bamani Tahimba. That's right. And Africans. Africans on the move. No, Africans for the Africans. AfricaForTheAfricans.org, brothers and sisters, Brother Bomani Tahimba, and he's ready to take a group of our people once again. In fact, very soon, a couple of days,
November 20th to December 2nd. Going to Kemet. Going to Kemet. November 20th to December 2nd. January 30th through December, excuse me, January 30th to February 10th, 2025, Azinha. In fact, for this trip to South Africa, Azinha, for all new members, a $300 discount from the $4,800 original price. So it's $4,500. April 4th to April 14th, 2025, Kenya. May 24th to June 5th, 2025, Ghana. November 20th to December 1st, 2025, Tanzania. Brothers and sisters, these are just a few of the trips that Brother Bomani Tahima has planned, and everything you need to take a trip of a lifetime, even if you don't take one with him and you're going to do it on your own or with other groups. The information, everything is there, all the documentation, all the things that you need, all the information that you need. AfricaForTheAfricans.org. Habesha Incorporated. Habesha stands for Helping Africa by Establishing Schools at Home and Abroad. And the Habesha Works Program and all the positive things that Habesha does. Habesha Works, Black to Our Roots, Sustainable Seeds, Golden Growers, and the Urban Green Jobs. And, of course, the Kashi Project in Ghana. The Kashi Project, it is in full effect in Ghana. Habesha Incorporated.org. Habesha is a Pan-African organization that cultivates leadership in youth and families through practical experiences in cultural education, sustainable agriculture, entrepreneurship, holistic health, and technology. Man, great pictures, I tell you. Habesha Incorporated.org. The Ledge Group, land for the environmental development of the group economics. Brother Peter Brown, the Ledge Group. And they deal in the four areas of human sustainability. What humans need, must have: food, water, clothing, and shelter. They have 12 projects in 6 different countries and over 172 employed and over 260 members. The Ledge Group, land for the environmental development for group economics. The Minister of Wellness, Brother Nathaniel Jordan. Brother Nathaniel Jordan, I believe, is still in Kenya. He said he's going to be there for a number of months. And, hey, and I'm going to call my good brother, Brother Ayo Kamathi, the irritated genie, to find out if he's heard from Brother Nathaniel Jordan and see what time he's going to be back. So we'd love to talk with him, to talk about his experiences and so forth. But you can go to his website, theministerofwellness.com. Theministerofwellness.com. He has products for you to help you maintain maximum health. Get through this year and next year that comes and years after that in good health. The Minister of Wellness. Smile Pharmacy, another healthcare products that we promote, and that's Brother Jabril. And his website, Smile Pharmacy, SmileFarmacy.com, SmilePharmacy.com. Give Brother Jabril a call at 770-765-7751. That's 770-765-7751. Smile Pharmacy, SmileFarmacy. And you can send that at Gmail if you want to send them, you know. But just go to the website, brothers and sisters, smilepharmacy.com, and see all the new products that Brother Jabril has to offer and the information. All right? All right. Brother Moses West and the Moses West Foundation. The Moses West Foundation.org. Go to the Moses West Foundation.org. Current mission, their current mission right now is to develop clean water for North Carolina. The Moses West Foundation is preparing to deploy an atmospheric water generator, 5,000, the AWG, atmospheric water generator, to address severe water shortages in western North Carolina following Hurricane Helene. We are seeking support for critical resources to overcome logistical challenges, including gaining access to impacted areas and ensuring that the efficient delivery of clean water, assistance with fuel, transportation, equipment, essential supplies is vital for us to navigate the current conditions and restore water access. When you look at the pictures of what happened, you know, Asheville and so forth, man. And anytime these disasters happen, the water supply is adversely, deeply adversely affected. It's, you know. So, the atmospheric water generator, the AWG, atmospheric water generator technology, must be employed. So, brothers and sisters, go to the website, themosesweathfoundation.org. See for yourself and become a donor to the Moses West Foundation. Wadada's Healthy Market and Juice Bar, located here in Atlanta on the West End. I live right down the street from it. I live on Cascade, and Wadada's is on Abernathy near the West End Mall, 878 Ralph David Abernathy Boulevard. And they have a variety of things and dry goods. So check out Wadada's Healthy Market and Juice Bar tomorrow and Sunday. They'll be serving vegan dishes that you can purchase. Like I said, they have dry goods, smoothies, and delicious fruit drinks, pastries, and so forth. Wadada's Healthy Market and Juice Bar. Give them a call at 404-444-1635. That's 404-444-1635. The Medu Bookstore in the Greenbrier Mall. Mama Nia. She has a fine selection of books, postcards, greeting cards, t-shirts, figurines, you name it, she has it. She also has areas where she has book signings and other presentations. I look forward to doing a presentation next year, soon, at the Medu Bookstore in the Greenbrier Mall. Give Mama Nia a call at 404-346-3263. That's 404-346-3263. The Medu Bookstore in the Greenbrier Mall. The Black Dot Cultural Center and Bookstore and Coffee Bar, located in Lithonia. My good brother Gazemde Ajamu, the proprietor. That's located in Lithonia, 6984 Main Street. In fact, it's east of Atlanta. Get on I-20, drive east, and then you exit 74. Take exit 74, make a left. Now you're going north. And for about a mile, a little over a mile. And on the left will be the Black Dot Cultural Center and Bookstore and Coffee Bar, where they have a fine selection of books and all kinds of good stuff. They had the red, black, and green shoes, which I bought from Brother Gazende, and all kinds of good stuff, t-shirts, figurines. Give them a call at 770-765-6373. That's 770-305-6373. The Black Dot. There's light in the Black Dot. Jump back in your car. Go back to the opposite direction, which is now south. You're going south, and then you make another left. You make a left again, you're still going east. Take that next exit after 74, which is exit 75. Turner Hill Road. Make a right. Three lights. Make another right. And on the left, you'll be at the new Black Wall Street Market. The new Black Wall Street Market. So, check it out for yourself, family. All right. Us Lifting Us, the Economic Development Cooperative for Our People in the Spirit of Ujamaa. They had their Thursday night broadcast last night from 9 p.m. to 10 p.m. on Blog Talk Radio. That's blogtalkradio.com. If you go to blogtalkradio.com/ULU, Us Lifting Us, every Thursday night at that time you can hear the broadcast. Also, too, you can call in to listen or call in to give questions, comments, or concerns at 929-477-2789. That's 929-477-2789. Us Lifting Us, the Economic Development Cooperative for Our People. Homeland Village and Cultural Gift Shop located in Macon, Georgia. Brother Abijah has got it going on. He's open from Tuesday through Sunday at 11 a.m. to 8 p.m. And he has pretty much everything that you may need. It's a one-stop shop. He has furniture. He has clothing. He has, oh, man, oils, dry goods, incense, CDs, DVDs. He even has a vegan restaurant on the premise. That's right. Hey, the Homeland Village and Cultural Gift Shop, Macon, Georgia. If you want to give him a call, call him at 478-256-1166. 478-256-1166. Homeland Village and Cultural Gift Shop, Macon, Georgia. All right. Sun God Essential, one-stop natural shop located 4140 Jonesboro Road in Forest Park, Georgia, inside the International Discount Mall, booth 225. Give my sister Shelly Amundsen a call at 404-434-7963. That's 404-434-7963. Sun God Essential, one-stop natural shop. Sanjay-IET.org. Sister Gabriella is doing outstanding work, working with our children in the northeastern portion of the island of Haiti, the northeastern portion. They're away from they're a long way away from Port-au-Prince. But, of course, the infrastructure of Haiti is so disrupted that they get no money. They rely on people like us. So go to the website, Sanjay, Sonjay-IET.org. Sanjay-IET.org. Akabin Institute, Baba Barudi and Mama Ya, of course, they have been educating our young people, and they do have, because of what happened with the pandemic, they have a number of students that were being educated online. So we applaud what they're doing. Definitely, we support what they're doing. Tomorrow is the 16th, Saturday the 16th, and they're doing the Kibuka presentation tomorrow. It's the 19th annual Kibuka, remembering the middle passage through the eyes of our ancestors. This is a very emotional, very deep presentation by Baba Barudi. Families, $35. Couples, $25. Adults, 15. Children, $5. If you're under age of 18, $5. Yeah. So, if you want to check out Kibuka, and that's going to be, let me get that address again. You can register online, include your pertinent information. Of course, Kibuka, K-E-B-U-K-A, your name, your email address, so that they can send you the link. But you can also, can't find that information. Well, check it out, Kibuka. Okay. Not sure I had that as part of that, but I guess I don't. So, let's get into this presentation for today. Yeah. Hopefully we have a number of you who call in. And of course, you know we always read the Inya Sesim of Daily Revolutionary Thought. Baba Barudi said he's going to do a third volume of Daily Revolutionary Thought. That would be great. I mean, I'll continue to read these each day that it is continuously. It would be great to get a new one. November 14th. Skills demand vigilance. It is to him who is free of laziness that it comes. All works demand insight. The one who is effective is he who applies himself. Senworset, an ancient Kemet. Ignorance, incompetence, laziness, and lack of accountability are the bane of any front line. Warriors should have no tolerance for any of them or any other qualities which dilute and cripple our nation-building efforts. This must be checked at the door, even for those new to the front line, because the time for negotiating with any habits which slow or any other way reduce the effectiveness of what is being done to empower our Sankofian movement is gone. We are already too far behind to justify the tolerance of anything which hinders a centered progression away from Urugu and toward African sovereignty. And while we know that the point of this proverb applies to men and women equally, the Kikuyu adage that men act promptly is most apropos within the statement. Promptness in the face of full destruction, whose time has eclipsed the horizon, requires the courage given through knowing, resilience gained through the practice of competence, the active determination inbred within diligence, and the kind of selfless, altruistic accountability found only among those who possess good character. Fortitude in the application of truth is the way of the warrior. Within this, there is no room for moral, spiritual, intellectual, or physical weakness. Affirm, I meticulously, diligently apply myself to effective, immediate ends. Ashe. Affirm, I meticulously, diligently apply myself to effective, immediate ends. November 15th. They destabilize us. Flesh-eating madmen, callously controlling crazy, venomous canine attack dogs, viciously biting and chewing broken black skin, saliva dripping down violently. Our vision poisoning our standing position, murdering bruised masses, shooting spirited voices. Robin Asantewa. Most of us are able to grasp the concept of murder when it comes to Urugu. We are just unable to understand the magnitude of, the meaning of, the mind hindering behind hundreds of millions when it comes to Urugu murdering us. Such numbers are beyond our comprehensive threshold or ability to feel without necessarily becoming righteously enraged and actually doing something corrective. This awakening we fear because we remain slaves to Urugu's way. Because we know Urugu and its wanton murderous record. And for this reason, we hide from our ancestors deep in the recesses of Urugu's insanity. Damn. I hear the cries of my ancestors. Ashe. Affirm, I hear the cries of my ancestors. If we do, damn it, let's do something about it. November 16th. When justice is slow in coming, it's because it's gone on a long trip to look for sturdy but flexible branches. Sturdy but flexible branches, which to chastise the the culprit all the better. When justice is slow in coming, it's because it's gone on a long trip to look for sturdy, flexible branches which to chastise the culprit all the better. Those who pave and trod the paths of evil have enormous but reasonable fears. They act out in expectation that others will do them what they have done to others. Excuse me, family. That's why the Caucasian, that's been always been his thing, is that they're worried that we will do to them what they have done to us. And we don't care about them. We just want to be left alone to do our thing, to establish who we are, our foundations, our sovereignty. They know the crimes they have committed against the universe are not just those whose spirit they insulted. As long as they have attempted to destroy, have remembrance, they have every reason to spend their generations watching their backs. Only a mental fool would not believe that Urugu did not know exactly what they have done and continue to do. Affirm, I have found the branches and I need to do the corrective work. I found the branches and I need to do the corrective work. Whoop that ass with a good sturdy branch. Chastise them. Brothers and sisters. The Inyasisim of daily revolutionary thought. Yeah. I love the Inyasisim. Like I said, sometimes when I go there in the topic I'm raising, and it just happens to follow suit. It's like that, brothers and sisters. The spirit is like that. Of course, Brother Heru, who was my guest this past week, and also I definitely want to thank my good brother, Brother Irv, for last Friday and this past Monday. And, man, Brother Irving Lewis, who now lives on the left coast, but who's from the right coast. And I really appreciate him coming for me at those times. Yeah. So ASCAC, we had, of course, Wednesday, we had Brother Heru, Dr. Heru, Sepin Tepera, and talking about today, this evening, from 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. this evening with ASCAC. Come join us for a conversation on historical overview of the founding of ASCAC, when those brothers and sisters founded ASCAC, and of course, the journey they made and the pilgrimage they made back to Kemet. With hundreds of us as people, I remember some good friends. In fact, one of them made his transition just recently, Brother Bill Taylor, and his wife Daphne. He went to Kemet as well as Brother Ron Pound. These are folks from Milwaukee who I know, who went to Kemet. And I tell you, that's a good trip. I've been to Kemet, but I would love to have gone with them and those great scholars. Dr. Clark, and Asa Hilliard, oh, so many. So that's tonight, an information and a question and answer session for the upcoming. We have a conference, a Southern Region Conference here in Columbus, Georgia, where Dr. John Henry Clark is buried. And that's going to be January 24th to January 26th, 2025. So tonight's location for this meeting to discuss the overview of creation of ASCAC, the Association for the Study of Classical African Civilization, and as well as any information that you are inquiring of or would love to find out about, and to find out about the meeting, the conference that will be held in Columbus. I'm quite sure they're going to go to his gravesite. We did that about 10 years ago. When I first moved here to Atlanta, and that was a great trip. Great number of us. Mama Marimba was with us. I'm not sure if she's going this time, but yeah. And of course, the meeting this evening is at the Kemet Club, 2835 Church Street in East Point, Georgia, which is just right outside. It's Atlanta. 2835 Church Street, East Point, Georgia. So hope you can make that tonight, and we'll be talking about the conference upcoming in January, no doubt. So, all right. I'm going to deal with, you know, I don't too much deal with the politics of this madness, you know, but I'm going to deal with it this time. Donald Trump and his minions. Trump wants Elon Musk to overhaul the government. Here's what could be on the chopping block. Yeah. President-elect Donald Trump and Elon Musk have big ambitions for making the federal government leaner and more efficient by reviewing its budget and operations from top to bottom. Musk, the world's richest person, who owns or runs several companies, has warned that his goals, including cutting at least $2 trillion in federal spending, could cause temporary hardships, no doubt, before ultimately creating the long-term prosperity. The long-term prosperity. His pronouncements are prompting budget experts to scoff. While
okay, I'm reconnected. I got cut off for 2 seconds.
Hey, Bubba Butch, how you doing? You there?
Yeah, I'm here. You hear me?
I can hear you very well, dear brother. Okay, I'm going to be. Yes, sir.
I don't want to cut in your program, but Herb did an excellent job. Was it Irving?
Yeah.
What's
yep,
his name?
Yep,
Irv.
Irv. Irving.
Excellent
Irving
job.
Lewis. Yeah.
Irving, excellent job. I think he was what, Friday and Monday? Was that
yep.
when he was on?
Yes, sir. Yeah.
Well, exceptional job. I really enjoy. So you got a good feeling when you're not there. He's
that's for sure. I agree, my brother. I agree wholeheartedly.
Excellent.
Yes, sir. All right, Baba Butch. Well, I know you're going to be listening, man, so I appreciate you, man.
Yeah.
All right, peace.
Yeah, go ahead. Okay.
All right. Musk, the world's richest person who owns or runs several companies, have warned that his goals, including cutting at least $2 trillion in federal spending, could cause temporary hardships before ultimately creating a long-term prosperity. His pronouncements are prompting budget experts to scoff while sending chills down the spines of many federal workers and those who depend on federal governments for assistance or their livelihood, which, of course, is us. The federal government or even state and local or county governments employ more of us than in the private sector. Yeah. Yeah. Details about how the new Department of Government Efficiency, or DOG, gonna get dogged out, Department of Government Efficiency, will operate. And some Musk and his co-leader, Vivek Ramaswamy, and I'm quite sure if you watched the debates, Vivek Ramaswamy, and all them cats, you know. Yeah. Tell you, man, these cats ain't about shit. And of course, he, along with, what's the name from South Carolina, were put in their place because they're not. See, Trump wanted natural-born white folk. This was a thing. His being elected in basically was about white supremacy, European, and I don't like that word. And I thank Brother Paul, you know, because I don't like white supremacy. They're not supreme. They're not white number one. They're not white like we're not black. We're Africans, and they're Europeans or Caucasians, you know, and they're shown the hell ain't supreme. So I use this terminology. They are European Caucasian extremism. So instead of racism, it's extreme. They're very extreme. European Caucasian extremism, racism. Now, I still put that in there because they are the ones who created this concept and idea of race. They did that. And that can be documented if you go back and look up Carol Linnaeus or Johann Blumenbach. They're the ones who created the stratification of human beings with herself at the top position, with everybody else at a lower position, with us at the lowest position. So European Caucasian extremism, racism, and privilege, because they feel that they are a privileged group among all others on the planet. Okay? And so that's why Ramaswamy and Nikki Haley got dissed. Will avoid conflicts, interests remain scarce. But the duo has spoken openly about areas of the government they like to see altered, while Trump and Republican lawmakers have a long list of programs and operations they like to reform. It's important. Let me see here. It's important to note that while Trump has promised that the initiative will make drastic changes, Musk and Rosh Hashemi will not have any direct power to make spending cuts, regulatory changes, or other moves. The group will exist outside the government and will likely serve to make recommendations to the White House for the president's annual budget, which outlines the president's vision, but Congress is not required to follow. And there's going to be some serious debate and discussion, I'm quite sure. But, of course, he controls the House, and he controls the Senate, and he controls the Supreme Court. It's crazy, ain't it, y'all? I know that's right. Hey, you know, just as I said on Friday's program, excuse me, on Wednesday's program, today's Friday, on Wednesday's program, the Exodus did not happen. That's right, family. The Exodus in the Bible did not physically happen. It is not historical. It didn't happen. But the Exodus must happen as it relates to African people. We must go home wherever we are. Because wherever we are, we're getting dogged out. Because European Caucasian extremism, racism, and privilege is a global phenomenon. It just don't happen here. It happens globally. And other cultures have followed suit with that mentality. Look how we're treated everywhere. So we just as a country, obviously we need to live within our means, said Musk, who owns X and is a CEO of Tesla and SpaceX. So that means just looking at every line item, every expense and saying, is this necessary at all? In fact, if it only benefits these people, we're going to exit out. But he also acknowledged that everyone is taking a haircut here. That's necessarily involves some temporary hardships, but it will ensue long-term prosperity. Oh, really? You think so? So we're going to have to suffer, you know, for a minute, so he says. On the campaign trail, he said he would get rid of a 75% of the federal, 75% of the federal workforce, or about 2.3 million civilians are employed by the federal government, which is nearly 60% for the Department of Defense, Veteran Affairs, and Homeland Security. Hordes of unelected bureaucrats stifle innovation and ignore the voted desires of the American people, Rosh Hashemi wrote in a white paper. Yeah, he loves to be, he want to be white. The plan, okay, it also called for closing the Department of Education and shifting its workforce training programs to the Department of Labor, eliminating the FBI and relocating its 15,000 special agents who solve crimes and cases and other stuff to other agencies, getting rid of the Nuclear Regulatory Commission and shifting its duties to other departments. Rooting out waste in government is a huge undertaking, says Stephen Moore, a economic campaign advisor to Trump and a Heritage Foundation economy. That's who initiated the project. 2025 was the Heritage Foundation. DOGE is going to need hundreds of people to pull this off. It won't just be Ilan and Vivek, said Moore, who is not involved in the effort. Yeah. The host of budget experts across the political spectrum have questioned the efforts and the effect and the ability to cut wherever needed. $2 trillion a year in spending, which is more than the federal government spends on defense, education, veterans' health, and other discretionary items in the past fiscal year. Larry Summers, a former Treasury Secretary in the Clinton administration, and Glenn Hubbard, a former U.S. Council on Economic Advisors Chair in the George W. Bush administration, both poured cold water on the idea at an event on Tuesday. They ain't feeling it. They don't think what these guys plan to do will work. Slashing that much from the budget, which total roughly $6.8 trillion in fiscal 2024 would require cutting every program by roughly one-third. One-third, said Bobby Hagan, Senior Director of Federal Budget Policy at the left-leaning Center for American Progress. And if Social Security, Medicare, and veterans programs were protected, the rest of the budget could have to be cut by 62%, affecting defense, food stamps, home heating assistance, housing aid, food safety inspections, and infrastructure, among others. $2 trillion a year. And that's ironic, because Republicans are the most spending. They're the Republican Party, when you look at the record, have been the most spending party in the last 30, 40 years. The Republicans. More of a balance in terms of spending and so forth have been done by Democrats. $2 billion per year in such an absurdly large number, it's impossible, Hogan said, noting that more than 70% of the federal government spending, not including interest payments, consists of payments to individuals such as Social Security, Medicare, Medicaid, and other aid programs. And once again, family, Social Security is not a program of benevolence by this government. It's a program that people who worked paid into, who deserve that money. Ronald Reagan. Now, if you've heard this program, you know that I have great disdain for Ronald Reagan. I think that Ronald Reagan is one of the worst presidents in this history. But, of course, white folks love him. They love them some Ronald Reagan. But he's the one that caused these huge deficits and the divisions and the widening gap of those who have and don't have. He is. Reagan, along with Margaret Thatcher, her ass. So you had the top two governments in white supremacy, United States and England, spearheading this at that time. Yep. But also, too, the money that was borrowed from Social Security, trillions of dollars, and never repaid. And now you want to cut it? Pay the money back that you took. George W. Bush. Actual savings from cutting waste, fraud, and abuse would likely total $150 billion and $200 million. Brian Riddell, senior fellow at the right-wing Manhattan Institute, posted on X Tuesday. Additional savings beyond that becomes more of an ideological project focused on killing programs you dislike rather than making them more effective. You don't like these programs? Kill them, wrote Riddell, who also worked for Republican presidential candidates and chief economist, former GOP Senator Rob Portman of Ohio. Trump's Department of Government Efficiency will not be an actual department. It will not likely even be a White House office. It will likely be a private effort that writes a report and sends it to the White House and Congress, nothing more. Congressional Republicans have reportedly targeted certain government programs and operations for cuts, many of which were also included in Project 2025, the conservative blueprint published by the Heritage Foundation that Trump initially distanced himself from. Among the biggest targets have been Medicaid, which provides health coverage low-income Americans, the Children's Health Insurance Program, and the Affordable Care Act Exchange, which covers about 100 million people in total, said Sharon Peratt, president of the left-leaning Center on Budget and Policy Priorities. The only way to get sufficient savings anywhere is close to dollar levels that Republicans have put forward is to take health care away from the people, period. Some supporters of the Department of Government Efficiency have likened it to previous fiscal commissions, particularly the Grace Commission authorized by former President Ronald Reagan in 82. It was charged with eliminating waste and efficiency in federal government. The commission presented more than 2,500 recommendations to Reagan and Congress, but most, particularly those that required legislation, were never implemented. G. William Hoagland, a bipartisan public policy senior vice president who served as a staffer for the Senate Republicans for 25 years, wrote for the Peter G. Peterson Foundation last year, Musk and Rosh Hashanah, vast business ventures pose considerable conflict of interest concerns if they lead the new initiative. For instance, his ex-town hall, Musk repeatedly criticized government regulations, citing their interference with his company. The duo and Trump have all pushed for slashing regulations. It's quite arduous getting regulatory approval, Musk said while discussing his Neuralink startup that develops and implements brain-computer interfaces. It does slow us down, and I think we should be able to go faster in the U.S. with advancing Neuralink technology and other technologies that are out there unrelated to my company. Legal experts told CNN that the government efficiency entity, based on what's known about it so far, will likely be covered by a federal law requiring transparency and balanced views on such advisory committees. Multiple commissions set up under the first Trump administration faced litigation under the law known as the Federal Advisory Committee Act, and one of these commissions set up to study the alleged problem of voter fraud after Trump falsely accused that millions voted illegally in 2016, ultimately disbanded rather than continue to fight a case in court because they knew they were not going to win. The Trump transition team did not respond to CNN's inquiry about whether it believes the new initiative would be subject to these requirements. But legal experts say that if the president-elect follows through with his plan to have the two outsiders lead it, the law would be hard to get around. The law would be hard to get around. FACA is typically when the president sets up a commission to look at particular issues of interest and concern, and so it does seem like FACA, like said John Greenbaum, a lawyer who was involved in FAC litigation during the first Trump administration and found the legal advisor firm Legal Justice Strategies. The law has to restrict transparency mandates that require, among other things, advance notice of meetings. That meetings are publicly accessible to the public and has a view into what records commissions is using to do its work. It also requires that a commission members are not all of the same viewpoint. The idea that you can just say, I'm going to give my two wealthy friends the power to reshape government and that they can do it in secret, that's not how it works, said Harry Sandick, another lawyer who sued Trump Voter Fraud Commission on behalf of the Democratic Commission, who said he was cut out of the commission's work. For any CNN in the news, okay. Well, that's the deal with that. That's the deal with that, family. We're going to talk about that and much more on the other side. We'll take your calls at 215-490-9832. 215-490-9832. We're going to take a break. When we come back from the break, we'll take your phone calls and talk about things that you want to talk about, particularly if it pertains to this madness, you know? Yeah, it's madness. I tell you, we'll talk about that and so much more. Yeah. It's Friday, so we're going to play some good Friday music, y'all. Yeah. You're listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network on timeforanawakening.com and blacktalkradionetwork.com. We'll be right back. You stay with us.
You are listening to African Perspectives with host Brother Oshie on Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasting or live program scheduling, hit them up at timeforanawakening@gmail.com.
I got a happy cry all on my way. land on being a star. Let me tell you, it's always cool. And the boss don't mind sometimes if you act the fool at the car wash.
You are listening to Time For an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts or live programming, hit them up at timeforanawakening.com.
Welcome back, brothers and sisters. Once again, you're listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network on timeforanawakening.com and blacktalkradionetwork.com. Man, two great soundtracks. I don't know if they've made any really good soundtracks I can remember lately. I mean, I don't know, but I tell you, those are two great soundtracks, man. Yeah. Yeah. Car Wash. Oh, to the 70s. Claudine and Car Wash. Wow. In fact, the Car Wash album by Rolls Royce is just outstanding. And, of course, Gladys and that soundtrack. So, let's get back to the discussion. You can give us a call at 215-490-9832, 215-490-9832. This was interesting. I didn't get a chance to play this. Let me try to find this piece. I didn't get a chance to play this. And I'm wondering where I can get it from. It's Rachel Maddow that she did on her program before the election. And what she's saying
about it is how Donald Trump is telling his supporters, don't no need to vote, no need to go to the polls, it's done. And all of the pundits and all of the polls and all of the information saying this thing is way too close to call, but yet this is what he's saying, you know? Yeah. Yeah. Try to see if I can find this for your family. Yeah. You're saying that, you know, this is what, and this Rachel Maddow piece is just, it is phenomenal. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to find it. Here's the piece right here. NBC's Rachel Maddow points out how Trump strangely told supporters not to vote since he already had enough votes. So if you didn't hear this, and to me, it says something to the effect that this shit was rigged. If you're talking about who rigged the election in 2020, this was rigged. Yeah. So.
But let me also point out something more strange, which has been happening at the same time and it hasn't had as much attention. The day before Trump made those remarks on Friday, he said, you're never going to have to vote again after you vote for me this one time. The day before that, on Thursday last week, he didn't say that people wouldn't have to vote anymore once he was elected this November. Now, the day before that, on Thursday, he told his supporters, not that they're not going to have to vote again, but that they don't have to vote this time, that they don't need to vote for him this November.
My instruction, we don't need the votes. I have so many votes.
My instruction, we don't need the votes. I have so many votes. He said that on Thursday last week. And it turns out this is something, when you look, he says this all the time now. Watch.
My instruction, we don't need the votes. I have so many votes.
We don't need votes. I tell my people, I don't need any votes. We got all the votes we need. I don't need votes.
We don't need votes. We got more votes than anybody's ever had.
You don't have to vote. Don't worry about voting. The voting, we got plenty of votes.
Don't worry about voting. Of all the weirdness around this campaign, this is a truly strange thing to tell people, right? Don't vote. I don't need your vote. I don't want your vote. I mean, all the surface level weirdness is, you know, worth noting. Having a new position on literally anything you can think of as soon as any random rich guy tells you to, that's a weird thing. Picking the eccentric billionaire's intern for your running mate, even though you apparently had no idea who he was or what a disaster he is on television, all of this is weird. But telling voters, do not bother to vote for me, it doesn't matter if you do, I don't need your votes. That is a thing that should prick up your ears. Because what that means is that he doesn't think he needs to win the vote to win the election. He doesn't think he needs to win the election in order to take power. He thinks something other than votes is going to determine whether or not he gets back in the White House. But let me also point out something more strange, which has been happening at the same time and it hasn't had as much attention. The day before Trump made those remarks on Friday, he said, you're never going to have to vote again after you vote for me this one time. The day before that, on Thursday last week, he didn't say that people wouldn't have to vote anymore once he was elected this November. Now, the day before that, on Thursday, he told his supporters, not that they're not going to have to vote again, but that they don't have to vote this time, that they don't need to vote for him this November.
My instruction, we don't need the votes. I have so many votes.
My instruction, we don't need the votes. He said that on Thursday last week. And it turns out this is something, when you look, he says this all the time now. Watch.
structure. We don't need the votes. I have so many votes.
We don't need votes. I tell my people, I don't need any votes. We got all the votes we need. I don't need votes.
We don't need votes. We got more votes than anybody's ever had.
You don't have to vote. Don't worry about voting. The voting, we got plenty of votes.
Don't worry about voting. Of all the weirdness around this campaign, this is a truly strange thing to tell people, right? Don't vote. I don't need your vote. I don't want your vote. I mean, all the surface level weirdness is, you know, worth noting. Having a new position on literally anything you can think of as soon as any random rich guy tells you to, that's a weird thing. Picking the eccentric billionaire's intern for your running mate, even though you apparently had no idea who he was or what a disaster he is on television, all of this is weird. But telling voters, do not bother to vote for me, it doesn't matter if you do, I don't need your votes. That is a thing that should prick up your ears. Because what that means is that he doesn't think he needs to win the vote to win the election. He doesn't think he needs to win the election in order to take power. He thinks something other than votes is going to determine whether or not he gets back in the White House. But let me also point out something more strange, which has been happening at the same time and hasn't had as much attention. The day before Trump made those remarks on Friday, he said, you're never going to have to vote again after you vote for me this one time. The day before that, on Thursday last week, he didn't say that people wouldn't have to vote anymore once he was elected this November. Now, the day before that, on Thursday, he told his supporters, not that they're not going to have to vote again, but that they don't have to vote this time. That they don't need to vote for him this November.
Man, I tell you, that's deep, ain't it? Yeah? That's deep. And that was said before the actual election took place, which was that coming Tuesday. And he won by landslide proportions, took all the battleground states, took the popular vote. You know, this is going to be interesting, family. This is going to be interesting. Give us a call at 215-490-9832. 215-490-9832. Get into this conversation. I just, when I first heard that, last week, just right after the election, I heard that. I was like, man, you know. And I wish I could have heard it prior to the election itself, but this is even deeper, the fact that I heard it after the election, and it happened. But if he told his supporters, you don't need to vote for me. You don't need to go to the polls. You don't need to cast any early votes or late votes or whatever. You don't need to. It's done. How is it going to be done? How is he going to make that happen? Well, it happened.
And so, hey, OC.
Hey, Jay, how you doing?
I'm all right, man. Don't go conspiracy theory, man. The reality is, people voted for that dumbass. Now they go pay the piper for having the dumbass back in office. He brings nothing to the table but harmony, despair, foolishness. It's just going to be a major continuous shit show. Yeah. Now, like I said to Irv, I think it was Monday or last Friday, I said, listen, what we need to do is, this may be a bad week to do it, when you think about it, because people are going to go shopping for their Thanksgiving feast and all of that nonsense. But what people need to do is, you know, to simply show you where this is going, take your food shopping bill, and put it in the drawer for 6 months, pull it out, and you're going to see that price is going to be up 20 to 30%, if he played his tariff game. You know, all the other stuff is just meant to do whatever he wants to do to destabilize the government. But the tariff thing is what's really going to affect the whole population and the country, because it's definitely going to take you into a recession.
Listen, Jay, I don't understand why this man will be talking about putting tariffs on when they already know the history of tariffs. They already know how tariffs happen.
See, that's your mistake, O. That's your mistake. Let me tell you what your mistake is.
Okay, tell me what my mistake is, Jay.
The average American don't know what the F a tariff is. They have no concept on how tariffs work or anything like that. And the sad thing is, the Democratic Party never explained to the dumbasses what tariff is and how it's going to affect their everyday living.
Right.
The messaging was totally terrible in regards to this psychopathic, narcissistic dirtbag.
Well, see,
that's the thing, Jay.
That's the thing. They made it think, and they made you think that him placing tariffs, the people who want to sell their goods here will have to pay more for them to do that. But the reality is the people here will have to pay more, okay?
Yeah.
You pay more.
This is what I love. This is what I love. 2 days after the election, and this is going to become maybe a pattern over a period of time, a boss called in Pennsylvania where his workers voted for Trump. You know what
I
mean?
Yeah.
And he told them, I'm calling y'all in, and I'm letting y'all know y'all not getting your Christmas bonus. And they all upset, and they asked him, well, why are we not getting our Christmas bonus? Because he said, look, I got to buy products to save because of the tariffs that this clown is going to place on my products.
Uh-huh.
And they was like, whoa. Because I guess they thought tariffs was going to help them hurt somebody else. Because, see, it's always about somebody else that ain't white. You know, this is really what it always boils down to. They just want to be able to hurt people of color, when the sad thing is people of color love your white ass more than you love your own white ass. And nobody wants to deal with that fact, because if we didn't love these crackers as much as we do, we wouldn't be in this position. But hey, like they say, you F around and you go find out. And America's now going to find out. Now, the thing is, I'm at the point now where I think Democrats and Republicans are basically the same. I ain't into that game about they really different. I mean, yes, they have certain policies that may be a little different.
Sure.
But the premise on both parties is they want to sustain white supremacy.
Right. Exactly.
White nationalism.
Maintain the system that they created. Sure. Exactly.
Yeah.
That's why
break a system to put you and keep you in a position of power. Now, the sad thing is we're going to suffer for it because you got quacks like RFK. Now, some things that RFK talks about, I could get with. But on the overall, he's a crackpot.
Yeah.
That ain't got no business in government. No. Just like that pedophile, Gates, or whatever the hell his name is, he ain't got no business being attorney general or whatever title they gave that pedophile. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So now you're going to see, and this is a good thing, you're going to now see if the Senate, and the thing is, they got majority hold on everything, if the Senate is going to stand up to this psychopath. Mm-hmm. Because if they don't stand up to the psychopath, then we really going to be in more trouble. Because they're going to let him do whatever he want to do, like, you know, putting in people without them being approved by the Senate, which lasts till around the midterm. So, I mean, hey, man, you know, the bottom line is you want to get rid of the psychopath, start preparing to get rid of the psychopath.
You got 2 years of hell, and hopefully he'll do enough damage to where then they'll be able to get rid of him. That's all. Other than that, you know, hey, let's see what happens, because he's going to try and make it to where he could run another term using some sort of excuse like he didn't have two consecutive terms. You hear that bullshit?
Mm-hmm.
It's just going to be total chaos for the next couple of months. And my question is fundamentally this. What are black people going to do for themselves?
We'll see, brother. We'll see, Jay.
Hey, I think it's going to be extremely entertaining, O. I think it's going to be a case study in the white man doing everything that he can to protect his interests. And I'll leave you with this, brother O. Dr. Clark told us we have no friends. And didn't all of these other ethnic groups show you that they are not friends to any decent American? Don't say it to black. Say it to themselves.
Yeah. Yeah.
My brother.
All right, dear. All right, brother. Talk to you in a minute, Jay. Hang on.
All right, brother.
All right. Yeah. Yeah. It's going to be interesting. It really is. But the question, from my perspective as a Pan-Africanist, as a cultural nationalist, I could give less than a rat's ass what these people do. But what's most important is what we do. No. What is our agenda? You know, because to me, if we're not dealing with independence, self-determination, liberation, and sovereignty for us, we ain't dealing with shit. You know? We're not. If we're still trying to beg these folks to do right, act right, let me participate, let me move here, let me go to the school here, promote me. You know? When all the while the numbers, and believe me, based upon what these folks have been talking about, the numbers for us are going to be really drastic. They've always have been, but they're going to really be drastic in terms of unemployment, health issues, educational issues, you name it. Okay, let me get my good brother here. Brother Paul, how you doing?
Yes, Brother Ochi, how are you, sir?
I'm doing well, my friend. What about you, man?
Well, I'm alive and kicking. Giving thanks for life.
That's right.
Always.
Keep on kicking. Keep kicking as high as you can, man.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. That's a metaphorical statement, by the way, because sometimes when I don't stretch for too long, my legs can't move, man. You know, when I say kicking, I mean, you know, in all the metaphorical terminology.
That's right.
Mentally trying to kick back. Socially trying to kick back.
Yes, sir.
Just trying to push back all the while, man. You just got to push back, Baba Ochi. You just got to push back. That's it.
That's
end
right.
of it. You understand? You know, we've come a long way, Baba Ochi. We've come a very long way. And we're going to go a long way, too. See?
Yeah.
We've come a long way, and we're going to go a long way. And that's it. You know what I mean? And
we were the first ones here. And
absolutely.
And the fact that our longevity could be sustained is the fact that we have a young population where other populations are older, particularly Europeans, Caucasians, white people, Yorugu. Their population is older. They are dying out. They're experiencing negative population growth. Now, us globally, you know, here in America, we were at stagnant. We were just, for one that dies, one is born, so we were pretty stagnant. That's why our percentages haven't gone up over the many years. But globally, we're the youngest population on the planet.
You know, Baba Ochi, when you say that, I think the reality of it is, Baba Ochi, do we really have reliable statistics to back up anything, or do we rely on our address?
No,
right. So the point is, this is. I'm glad you're laughing. It's pitiful in actual fact, but it's a reality.
Yeah.
You know, we are relying on information from our adversaries. Does that even make sense?
No, it doesn't. But you're right. We rely and we look at our adversaries and the information that they put out, and we think that's correct. No.
And is it even logical to think your adversaries? I mean, you imagine, right? You were a coach and you were involved in sports, okay? You imagine the other team. You relying on the other team's information to win the game. I mean, does that even make sense?
No.
No, it doesn't. No, it doesn't. So come on, man. You see, we have to really dig into the third chapter of our imagination to come to a right consensus. We do. Mm-hmm. You know, we have to take a bit from him, take a bit from her, take a bit from the left, take a bit from the right. And then we have to use our conscious and critical thinking to come to our own conclusions. There's nothing wrong with that.
Right.
You understand?
Right.
Because you know why? You know why, Baba Ochi? Because we come from a long way. You know, we the reality of it is, yeah, the reason why we got here, what got us here is what we use today. That integrity, that determination, that master of creation, what got us here, mm-hmm. this distance,
sure.
is what we use to determine the truth. And the reality of it is, our adversaries will not tell us the truth. So, you know, when you were saying that, the first thing that came to mind, you know, not to offend anybody, was abortion. That's what came to mind. And I know that the figures for abortion among our people is ridiculous. So when you say to me, well, the fact that, you know, we're not as many or whatever, that's the first thing that come to mind. Okay, and that's, I mean, what do you say to that?
Well, I know that here in this society, particularly here in this society, which is predicated on individualism, materialism, greed, and violence, that many people who got pregnant don't want to have children. And to some degree, I understand that. You know, particularly because you're going to raise it by yourself and you're going to rely on government assistance to help you in that effort, you know? And that's just not us. That's many in the society. So they're saying if you don't want to have that child, you should have the right to abort that child, you know, at an early age, at an early stage. You should not be made to go through the process of 8-9 months and so forth and then give it up. And that's what they want you to do. Number one, there are some, particularly Caucasians, because there's always been an issue for them in their genetics. There's always an issue in their genetics there because of the human development. And so there have been many women who could not have children. They want to adopt. Some, the Caucasian babies are not there. Plenty of Asians. A lot of Africans, American Africans and so forth. But, you know, some do. Some adopt them, some do. But most of them, no, they want to. In fact, if they could engineer a child, it would be probably blonde and blue-eyed and have all of these other traits that they would desire, kind of designer baby, whatever, if they could. But mostly they want the baby to be European, Caucasian, white. That's what they want, you know? And that's why they argue vehemently, too, about abortions, you know?
You know, Baba Ochi, you know, I'm coming from the standpoint of looking in the mirror. And I can tell you this, yeah? My first child, my daughter was born when I was 18. I was still in the school when my daughter was born, okay? And I have five, in actual fact, to be honest with you, I always say that, but I have a son who's older than that, right? So my first child came back when I was 16.
Okay.
16. Let me tell you something, yeah? And the idea of, and I didn't have nothing. I mean, in terms of the way you've just classified things, I had nothing in terms of, but I always knew I had something in my brain because I'm always going to create. I'm never going to give up. Never.
I say, right on.
I remember I used to go to school. I used to sit on the bus and I used to pass the stop. My brain was going over and over and over. And I remember passing the stop. We used to have something called a bus pass. You don't know how many times I lost that. And I had to pay for that again. I had to go and beg my parents for money. And they wondered what was going on. And I couldn't tell them. Now, I'm here now. I'm 54. And all of them are fine. All five of them are fine, man. I've got four grandchildren. They're all fine. And I didn't bail out on none of them. They ain't even got the same mothers. But I didn't bail out on none of them. None of them. I worked in the office, yeah. My first job was in a lawyer's office, right? I got that job and I was getting £4,000 a year. That was nothing. And they gave me a day release to go and study at college, right? And I tell you, right, I had nothing, nothing. I remember walking past the shop and looking at the TV and thinking, wow, looking at the price of that. But you know what? I'm here. And every one of them is fine.
Right,
I didn't
on,
give
Paul.
None of them no vaccines. I didn't give them no vaccines, by the way. I didn't, because I have an uncle who's severely autistic. He's in his 60s, and my grandmother told me that when she gave him the injections, that's when he stopped talking. So I had a conversation with my auntie, my eldest, my mom's elder sister, who's slightly older than you, and she told me about why she didn't give her children those vaccines. I said, I ain't giving none of my children, and none of them have it, and okay. Every one of them's fine.
Okay.
So I'm talking from the mirror, looking in the mirror. I'm not talking at the third chapter of my imagination or some speculation or hypothesis. I'm talking what's happened to me and where I am today. So I give thanks for life every day because I know the decisions I made with my thought process. I made with the heritage I've come with, which is the ancestral heritage, what got us here. I made those decisions with that. Mm-hmm. So I hear the way you've summarized things in terms of the money and being a single parent, all the rest of it, yeah. But I don't see none of that because I know how the situation what got us here will get us further. I don't even see Trump, the dumb, none of these people. The thing what frustrates me the most is why others don't see it like that. Why are we seeing everything in terms of our oppressor's eyes? Why do we see everything in terms of the systematic indoctrination what is imposed on us through his schooling, falling systems, in his schooling of education? Why is it that we can't dig into our forte, dig into our subconscious and find that structure, what got us here? I mean, it's amazing. You were playing some music earlier on, right? Car Wash. And I was thinking, imagine the genius of writing a lyric and actually creating a song, right? Which you're playing now. I think that comes from the 70s, right?
Right.
On a car wash. I was thinking, it's just genius. It's just total genius. Someone right. sat down. I mean, a car wash of all places. Who goes in a car wash and thinks about a song?
Nobody.
That is the and then I was listening to the woman sing it, and I was thinking her voice is like an angel.
Yeah,
she's translating that message, and you can take that back to the 70s, and still today as you play it, it's live. That's the genius of us. So I don't want to hear. It's very painful for me to hear this doom and gloom, and oh, this is going to happen, that's going to happen. I'm thinking, we've lost the plot. I feel like that. I feel some of us lost the plot because the reality of it is, what got us here through the barbarity, through that act of what they call slavery, which was what really was murder, robbery, paedophilia, homosexuality, all the worst crimes, all the worst things.
Right. Yes.
Right. The total psychopaths we were dealing with, but we're here. Look at us here. When you're playing that music, I'm thinking, you know, when we dance, you know, remember them times when you used to go to. And I know you probably experience this. You go to a place and you find a woman and you have a proper dance with that woman, yeah? Or you have a proper dance. You dance and then you feel enlightened. You go to a spiritual place,
yeah?
And then I was thinking when you were playing that music, why we used to dance, because that was part of our whole conduct. It wasn't just about entertainment. It wasn't just about playing the fool. It was a spiritual aspect. You know, it was about the drum. It's African. It came from us. It's in our soul.
It's in our DNA.
It's in our DNA. You talk about blues music. It's in our DNA.
Mm-hmm.
Jazz music in the DNA.
Mm-hmm.
The rhythm and bass. Everything. It's that wasn't just about entertainment. That's when we were tapping into our emotions. Yeah, these are the things we use to bypass this demon. This is what we do. When he
went down to the He's Madness. We went away and we sung. We sung, man. We sung. Who were we singing to? We were singing to the ancestors. We were singing to our soul. That's why you call it soul music. What about that? Why do you call it soul music? Because we were fixing these things. What are we doing today? We are putting our hopes and our in these people's madness.
Exactly.
They're talking it off their head. It's crazy, Baba Ochi. You see how we've lost the game and some of us have lost our mind? We are putting our hopes and dreams into these people's crazy madness. Okay?
Yep.
No, we don't have to do that. You look in the mirror and put your hopes and dreams into what got you here. Mm-hmm. That's the reality of it.
I say.
Thank you, Bob, giving me the opportunity to
man.
Speak. Baba
right Ochi. On. Right on, Brother. Brother's deep. Appreciate you, man. Appreciate you. Irv, what's happening, man? Thank you so much, my brother. Appreciate you, Irv. Yeah.
Baba Ochi. Yeah. No, thank you, Baba Ochi.
Yeah.
And can you hear me?
I can hear you well.
Can you hear me, Baba Ochi?
Yeah, I can hear you well, brother.
No, thank you. Thank you, Baba. Thank you, Ochi, for giving me the opportunity to actually come on the air and say what I've been thinking. I was listening to the conversation just a few minutes ago, and what you were saying, what Paul was saying, and living with Arugu over-sexualizes our children at an early age. Everything is sexuality. Everything over your the child knows, has seen sex acts by the time he's 6 years old. He's seen sex acts that I've seen by the time I was 20
Listen, hold
years
up, Irv, do me a favor, man. No, call me back because you're breaking up constantly. So give me a call right back, okay?
So I will.
All right.
I will.
Thank
yes,
you,
sir.
Yeah, right. Hopefully that'll be better because he's, I don't know if you hear what I'm hearing, you know, out there in the audience, but my good brother, Brother Irv, once again, I thank him so much. Brother Irv, how's that?
Yes, am I better?
A little bit better. Let's hope so.
Am I a little better?
Yeah. Yeah.
Am I a little better?
That's it. Go ahead.
I was just thinking that Arugu over-sexualizes the children in this society. When you grew up, everything was sex. Remember, he had foolishness. I never knew it would get to the point where it is now. I think, Baba Ochi, there's a level of conspiracy theory and effect of Trump saying what he said, I don't need your votes. Something to that. He's out there, but he's not completely a fool. He doesn't need votes. That's exactly what he meant. Don't make it into what it is. He said what he meant to say. I don't need votes. And how does that work? Well, let's be perfectly clear, Baba Ochi. The Democrats went all the way to the left. And we're not all the way to the left people. I'm going to sit here and look at a man dressed on in a stick, and you tell me that he's a woman that can have a baby. I'm not that far to the left. But I'm also not going to go all the way to the right, where I'm going to sit here and be happy that you're colonizing Mother Africa and you're the economic jackals to go in there and disable their guns and deal up their food and all that foolishness. I'm glad they're kicking. And I just saw on the internet Botswana is joining the Kingdom of Somali, Nigeria, and Chad.
Botswana
is joining them.
Good. Well, you know, Botswana is right in the middle of South Africa.
Right.
You know, so, yeah. Okay.
Right. Baba Ochi, that is huge. That's bigger than you know. Because what's going to happen now, other so-called, because it has to happen, the whole Berne Conference needs to be that whole thing needs to be dismantled. The country needs to get rid of the borders and put the borders back to where they were or develop their own borders.
Right. And I agree with that. I totally agree with that. Because these dividing up in 54 so-called sovereign nations is bullshit. You know, they need to come up with a way, do things regionally, you know, to make things happen. There should be planning for to build railroads, planning for to build highways, planning for to build towns and ports and so forth, develop Africa, develop ways to get the mineral wealth to the ports and to be sent to other places who where we can get the kind of money that can make our cities and towns grow, you know, where we can feed each That's other, right. man. These images of Africa being poor is ridiculous, but it's there. It's there. When you go to Africa, and you've been, you know, and I've been,
yep.
and we see some destitute because the governments, unfortunately, and the people who run them, who have been trained by the West, and of course, those individuals who are trained by the West do the West's bidding. They make sure the West has access, make sure France. I mean, I have such a deep disdain for France as you wouldn't believe, Brother Irv. I hate France, you know, for what France has done and continues to do to this day. You know, in fact, if it were not for Africa, France would be a shithole country, you know.
It is.
Yeah, but that's the whole thing about Europe. Europe has no resources. So how can Europe have all None. This gold? How can Europe have all these other things, all these amenities? How can Europe develop all the things that they need from other parts of the world that they develop and then sell back to the world, you know? These things need this whole arrangement needs to change. And the one that's going to do it, it is us when we come into our right mind. It is us.
And Baba Osi, let's be clear. We are in our right mind. I'm not crazy. And damn, if you're crazy, we the young people are going to take us where we have to go. In Africa, the first thing we did was change the curriculum in the school. The mm-hmm. first thing we did was give you European clothing. The first thing we did was take away your language. You got people from Sinhalese people that can't even speak their own language. They teach them to speak English. They teach them to speak French. Ibrahim speaks French. But does he know his native language? The first thing you do at Baba Oshie is what they did here. They take your history. If a man without history, Baba Oshie, is like a tree without roots. And what they do is they take your history because they don't want you to know where you're from or what your people have done and they tell you that your history started with us. We got here. We saved you. This is the savior complex that white folks have. And they right. still have to this day.
Right.
They're always going to save black people. We're going to save y'all. And I don't need you to save me. And we don't need aid. We don't want aid anymore, and they've turned down the aid now. We need aid. Aid comes with things attached. So no, Baba Oshie, Africa is changing. Africa is changing now. Africa is not. These people aren't stupid. They've been stupid up to this point, but now the internet has changed the game. The internet has brought right. the world closer together. And I'm just so serious. I can look at you and talk to you right now, just like on the damn Jetsons. And this is real. This ain't a game. Right. This ain't Star Trek stuff.
Yeah.
So the thing with them is a rule has to come out and just start taking things. And you're going to see that with this administration. They're not going to be undercover like Biden was on the slippery slide. You know, if you were black, you don't vote for me, you were black. What the hell are you going to tell me who I am? Who the hell are you to tell me who I am? You sit here and tell me, I'm not going to do nothing for just black people. And I'm supposed to do what with that? Vote for who? You? You're not going to do nothing for black people. I happen to be a so-called black. So what are you talking about? You never said the word Africa in your whole campaign. You haven't said Africa once, except when you was going there to try to get them to accept your sexuality, and they told you to take your money and take your dad. Perhaps you got in and go the hell on about here.
Yep.
Perhaps you got on for the hell about here. We don't need your money. We don't have a word for homosexuality over here. Okay? That's the same. And the thing is, you get confused and people insist. You look at a white person, you hate them. I don't hate anybody. But what I hate is the system we live under.
Right.
And if you're not fighting to tear the system down, you are part of the damn system. Mm-hmm. Oh, she let somebody else speak because you know I keep going.
Well, listen, man, I appreciate you, brother. Love you much, man. Okay. Yeah, talk to you in a minute.
Yeah,
all right, brother. All right. Yeah, if you want to jump in on this conversation, Jay. What's up, Jay?
20 pack.
But she feels better.
Yeah, so I'll be
conversation. Baba Ochi. Yes. Yes, Brother Paul.
Yeah. Yeah. Irv reminded me of something. You know, are you familiar with this person on your side of the pond called Greg Palast?
No. Uh-uh.
He's an investigative journalist, yeah? And he wrote a book called The Best... what's it called again? The Best Democracy or Something Money Can Buy.
Okay.
The Best Democracy Money Can Buy.
Okay.
Yeah?
Yeah.
And he's been a guest on certain platforms. And he talks about, I think he goes back to Jeb Bush and what's the other guy? I forget his name now. Jeb Bush in Florida when the results were disputed.
Yeah, Al Gore. It was not Jeb Bush. It was George W. Bush. And Al Gore.
Oh, yeah, that's right. George W. Bush and Al Gore, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's correct, yeah?
Yeah, they were counting the votes.
He wrote a book called The Best... I've not read the book, but I've listened to him many times. He's been on various platforms, and he talks about how the elections were rigged. Now, he's wrote a book on that. He's an investigative journalist.
Okay.
He's wrote that information.
Mm-hmm.
And since that time, you know, you can go on the internet and find this for yourself, man. Like Herb says, the power of the internet. This is not theory. This is factual. You can talk about who owns the patents for the. Let's talk about. You can find who owns the patents for the machines which calculate the votes.
Mm-hmm.
One of them is George Soros. It talks about the machines supplied to various countries and how they work, how the algorithms work. You can find that on the internet. So, you know, going back to Trump, when he plays that and people think, well, Trump's off his head. Look, I mean, I just get very surprised. Look, these people, I heard today someone say on a platform, they said Hillary Clinton and Trump are cousins. So I went and checked that on genealogy. There's a website called Genealogy, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
I typed it in, I went and checked it. And apparently they're 19th cousins. And that took me back to a time years ago when I watched a video on bloodlines and how American presidents are selected through bloodlines.
Exactly.
Okay? Now, this is not... Listen, when I'm thinking this, I just want to cry, man, because... It's so obvious. It's not even hidden. It's just in our faces what they're doing, what they've been doing from the beginning to now. It's not even checked. Look, I'm going to come back to this, Baba Ochi. I don't know if people can connect the dots. You've got to connect the dots. If you don't connect the dots, you allow their indoctrination to compartmentalize your mind. And what that means, if people don't understand what I'm saying, compartmentalization is what they do in the education. It makes you, like, for instance, you train to do one thing, and that's the only thing you can do. They've done that deliberately. But that's not how our minds work as Africans. Our minds don't work compartmentalized. We can be many things at once.
Right.
Look at the way we dance and what's the way they dance. We can hear the beat. We can hear the rhythm. We can hear everything. Okay? Because that's how our minds work.
Yeah, exactly.
Theirs don't work like that. That's why they move out of character. You understand what I'm saying? That's compartmentalization. So they compartmentalize our brains. They do that through the indoctrination, what they call education. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
So what I'm saying to you is that coming back to Trump, of course, Trump is a loose cannon. So he talks when he should shut his mouth, okay? So all he's doing is letting out the game. They've been doing this from time. Look, I'm surprised you even think that they've been doing this from time. Just go look at the presidents, all of them. Most of them are white Anglo-Saxon Protestant. You think that's a coincidence? What, you think that's an accident? That is how they maintain their grip, okay? Mm-hmm. They've been doing this from day one. He just ran up his mouth because he don't know when to shut his mouth.
Right.
But most of them, they're in the handshake club. Most of them are in the handshake club, and they've been taught how to say one thing and mean something else.
Mm-hmm.
You can go to, there's a book written, 1984, okay? Written by the author from escapes my mind.
1984, George Orwell?
George Orwell.
1984. Okay? Yeah. Double speak.
In his book, he talks about what's to come. Now, if you go and read his book now, everything you're seeing is what he talked about in his book.
Right.
Everything we're seeing. Okay? How come I tell you one thing and mean the totally opposite? He talks about all this in his book.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Now, how did he know that? Well, he worked in the Secret Service. Right now, England, every news report we see in England, they talk about the special relationship with America, yeah? Now, let me ask you a question. What's that special relationship? Because they all keep talking about it here, but I know you don't know what it really is. Mm-hmm. What it really is Five Eyes. If I say to you Five Eyes, do you know what that means?
No.
The Five Eyes are England, America, Australia, New Zealand, or Canada. Okay. Now, all those countries, look at their flags. Look how they connect. They're all based on one Anglo-Saxon control.
Right.
I'm going to say it again. Right? They're called the Five Eyes. They run that by security. Most intelligent people know the CIA runs America. We know
right.
that.
Right.
Okay? Most intelligent people know that because they run it through the secret services. That's what they call the Five Eyes.
Okay.
It's headed from here. Okay?
So those,
the British Secret Service. So they run everything.
So those five countries, which are all colonized countries, with the exception of Europe, is Australia,
right.
particularly New Zealand, Canada, United States, and controlled by Europe. Okay. Okay.
Right. Now, the reason why you don't know over there, because they make sure you keep that guy there who controls all the media, right, who came from Australia, who got kicked out of our country because
Murdoch.
The news of the world got closed down.
The Murdoch?
Murdoch, okay?
Yeah.
Who's had the oldest newspaper in this country, England, that was closed down because of what he was doing, his antics. And he went back to America. He went to America and started
right.
his operation, okay?
Right.
Now, he's from Australia. I just told you the Five Eyes. That's how they secure the world, okay? So you think what Trump is making up is some conspiracy theory? Trump's just got a big mouth and don't want to keep his mouth shut,
right.
okay? This has been going on from they colonized the place. Now, these people talk about it over here all the time. That's, our special relationship. And you don't go to anyone and say, what are they talking about, special relationship? Most people don't even pay attention. But if you go and check if it's saying, if I'm making up, it's called the Five Eyes.
Yeah.
That's why they control. Why do they call it eyes? So
yeah.
they can see everything.
Yeah,
they can watch everything. They've got phones. They listen to you 24/7.
Right. Well, they're positioned.
Even when your phone is off now, they're listening to you.
Well,
okay?
Positionally,
this
they're globally positioned all around the world. They're globally positioned all around the world. They're in this hemisphere,
right.
the southern hemisphere of Australia.
You know in this pandemic, you know what Elon Musk does, you're not talking about.
Okay.
He put up more satellites, right? He did this. Go check on the internet. He put up more satellites than any country has put up. He did that in the time we were locked down. What do you think he put them up there for? Okay, wake up, man. Please wake up. So they're all working together, okay?
Yeah.
So who knew? Presidents aren't elected.
They're selected. They are selected.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Please wake up. Please wake up.
I say. Right on. Okay, Brother Paul. Hey, Baba Butch, what do you think, man?
You know, to sum the whole thing up, it's called colonization of the imagination. That's the summary.
Yeah.
Colonization
of the imagination. Yeah.
That's what
they
it's
got
all
our
about.
Minds.
Okay.
It's all about the mind. Well, I'm in this program, brother. Appreciate you, Brother Butch. You have a great weekend, Brother Irv, Paul, Jay, all those who call in, all those who listen. We end this program like we end all of our programs with the words of Stephen Biko. The most potent weapon in the hands of the oppressor is the minds of the oppressed. This program is dedicated and committed to helping to free the African mind. But not just the M-I-N-D, but the M-I-N-E, because under the feet of African people lies all of the resources that everybody wants. Think they can't do it out, and they sure in the hell don't want to pay for it. Brothers and sisters, you have a blessed and wonderful day. Have a great weekend. Shem Hotep, that means go in peace. Asante Sana means thank you. Abibi Fahardier means our victorious destiny. Brothers and sisters, we will be victorious. You have a blessed and wonderful weekend, family. Peace.